The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Now, Dublin City Council has voted to increase the local property tax for the first time in several years. It sparked a lot of debate about fairness, about affordability and about funding for more local services. And to discuss the impact of all of that and the decision that they've made, what it might mean for housing policy and for you, I'm joined on the line now by Roy Hearn, who's the TD for the Social Democrats in Dublin North West, and also here in studio by Roisin Murphy, architect, artist, conservationist and lecturer in Griffith College. Welcome, Roisin.
Thank you very much, Mandy.
Now, Roisin, you live in the city.
Yes.
And I've heard you speaking about it frequently.
Yeah.
What do you make of this week's developments?
I suppose I find it just another stealth tax. I'm very concerned about the level of service it's going to deliver. We have a real problem in terms of enforcement, planning, municipal endeavour in Dublin City Council. Although it may be great, they're poorly funded. So I understand the request for funding. But I do think there's an ethos problem in terms of the municipal governance in Dublin and in towns and cities in general in the country. I think we're wonderful people. I mean, I was all over Europe this year and I came home and I thought, OK, we're very bad at visual culture in our towns and cities, but we're good people.
Mm.
And I think we don't really like to complain. So when the bins get taken away, when the benches get taken away, when they drape advertisements all over our protected structures, we tend to say, well, it's part of the community. I, you know, live right beside Croke Park. So we'll have a big influx.
So do you think we're just tolerant of it?
Yeah, we are the crack. We are a society who's drenched in music and literary culture.
And that means more to us than how these things aesthetically look around us.
Yeah, I think we're very bad at visual spatial planning. And I think in particular, our own president of the Institute of Architects this week spoke out about even the dialogue that's going on about visual culture at the moment, the kind of bearing down on you know, the cost of art and architecture. And we need to be really careful about that because...
That it doesn't become like just transactional about...
100%. Mm. And the problem with this tax is we've seen bins removed. Rory will tell you all about this. Like at one point I was part of an artist campaign which was all about ghost seating in the city. But when you go abroad, and I travelled, I don't travel much because of the environment, but I went over to Vienna to work in the Viennese School of Art and Architecture on some thesis project. And the one thing I kept thinking was, there's bins everywhere.
Mm.
There's a culture of city maintenance. And, you know, in Paris, for instance, you pay a tax, but you don't pay on top of that your bins.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, there's this thing of like, you pay for this, then you pay for this, then you pay for your bins. Like in Spain, it's the same thing. The bins are
It's built in. It's part of it and you don't question it.
No,
it's not an add-on.
And it's not commercially driven. It's not a profit-driven kind of service. So you don't have, at the moment, we've all privatised bin collections. We need to have underground bins in our in place like Mountjoy Square. And for me, before we start talking about an additional tax, we need to talk about how this is going to be spent. Croke Park, for instance, we will have absolutely no street camping today because Drumcondra becomes essentially a kind of reception area for people going to Croke Park. So there's money there that hasn't been taken in. There's services that being provided. The roads aren't being maintained. So for me, I think we need a little bit more kind of, well, what's the party spending it on and what are we going to get and when can we get enforcement?
Rory, Roisin makes very valid points there, but one of the points you did make is that all of that has to be paid for. You are the Social Democrats spokesperson for housing. You've spoken a lot of about various different topics on the housing front. What first of all, can you tell us about what was agreed this week and what it might mean for funding services? And I'll come back to what it means for households in a second, but what that might mean for how the services that Roisin is talking about could potentially be improved.
Yeah, thanks, Mandy, and good morning to Roisin as well and to your listeners. I think the starting point here is, you know, exactly the issues that Roisin has set out there are, you know, affecting people across Dublin, across my own constituency, and indeed across the country in towns, villages, cities. We have a huge dearth of, you know, properly delivered kind of local public services, from parks to libraries to swimming pools to basic maintenance. Indeed, you know, I was out in my own constituency this week in Ballymun visiting a young man who's living in a house where there's mould and damp causing him and his mother huge health issues. In Finglas Village, I was meeting businesses and they were, you know, showing me some of the derelict buildings that are absolutely just, you know, destroying the centre of Finglas, and buildings lying derelict for decades and decades. And, you know, we have to look at, you know, what is the problem here and understand it. And really the fundamental problem is that our local authorities, our councils, as people would know them, our county councils, city councils, are consistently and historically underfunded and do not have power. And when, you know, Roisin talks about other European cities, that's the difference. Mm. Other countries, their local authorities have funding, have ability to raise funding, and we have the least, one of the least funded and least empowered local authorities, local democracies, and then we don't get the services, and people wonder why we don't get the services, and it's that fundamental problem. And so you asked, you know, what happened? So we voted to, along with others, the Labour Party, the Green Party, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, to increase the property tax. We agreed with that, to go above the, basically bring it back to what's referred to as baseline. And what it will mean in terms of households is that, first of all, I think it's really important to state that this is a progressive tax, in that if your house is worth more, you pay more. And also, if you don't own a home, if you're in social housing, for example, or if you're a renter, you don't pay this tax. And there's actually been some misinformation spread around that this week, that those in social housing would be paying this tax. That is not true. If you're in social housing, you're not liable for this tax, and neither if you're a renter. So the majority of households in Dublin will not actually be paying this tax in terms of social housing and renters. Whereas in terms of if you own your home, then what it will mean is that for 75% of homeowners in Dublin, the increase annually in their property tax will be between, this is annually per year, €18 to €80. Mm. If you own a home over 2 million, you will face potentially up to €1,000 a difference. So it is a, what we call a progressive tax. And what will it go to fund then, you ask? So it'll provide an additional €15 million a year, up to €46 million over 4 years. And our councillors on the council have led and are leading a number of really innovative approaches. One in particular, which I know is very close to Roisin's heart and very close to a lot of people, which is the issue of dereliction and vacancy. And what we're going to do with this funding is set up a rolling fund that will compulsory purchase derelict properties, do them up, turn them into affordable housing, cultural spaces, art spaces. And these are the type of things we can do. It will go into housing maintenance, what I just talked about there, issues of mould and damp. So I think that we need to, and of course, you know, people are really struggling now. There's no doubt about it. But we have to also look at, you know, central government has to contribute here as well. And the councils need access to funding to deliver the services and quality of service. And Roisin is absolutely right. The quality of service is not good enough from our local authorities, and we need reform around that as well.
Yeah, Rory, I mean, sure, when you were visiting all those constituents in Ballymun and other places, they're mentioning that the cost of living crisis for a lot of people, even those who do have houses, is a real one. And it's something that I know a lot of people are talking about at the moment. I'm just more struck really by what Roisin said about having some more cultural built-in awareness beyond piecemeal local taxes that are funded by people from their household budgets. So Roisin, you mentioned going to other European capitals and seeing the aesthetics, but can you just, do you have any more information about how other countries
fund it
well, rather than actually dipping into someone's household budget?
My worry about this, and I think Rory will appreciate this as well, we've had more money spent per head of population in the south side than we have had in north inner city. And you only need to go around and walk around the city centre to see that we see more dereliction in the north inner city, less reporting and less enforcing. If my worry about this property tax is it's not like the European model where it's just you're taxed, you know, you pay for services, that it's so subject to whether you're a homeowner, so there's this sense that you have to be a homeowner to contribute to the city, that it's just not part of your taxes, but also that people will be saying, well, I'm paying more than somebody in a poorer neighbourhood, therefore I'm demanding better services. And we do see this. We've seen, say, the no more plastic bins rolled out in the south inner city, but not in the north inner city where it's a real issue.
And is that down, sorry to interrupt, yes, you, Roisin, is that down to public representatives not being active enough?
Well, the great white hope is Rory.
Because it's on you,
to
Rory.
An extent that we have had, I mean, we had Kieran Cuff, he went to the EU, like we do, and we have Marie Sherlock, who's very good as well, in fairness, she's told by the bins. But the North Inner City is one of the most visited places in the country. Mm. We have Croke Park, we have Botanic Gardens, but you're not seeing it reflected in the infrastructure of the municipal stuff provided. And I think that's because it's seen, we see our city in terms of areas where you come from. We have that British bureaucratic model of kind of social classes built into the city, and it's problematic.
And what about, Roisin, that you don't come from the city, right? So just take the tidy towns and the awareness that you have about your own community.
Yes, Mandy.
Maybe you don't come from the city and you're like, oh, I just
This
live
is
here.
The problem. This is the problem. I do think that we're not good at town. Mm. We other town. It's like a town, you know, there is a kind of sense, and even in the Micheál Martin, he's always photographed leaving his constituency in Cork. He's probably up in Croke Park now. With like, there's that sense. We're very parochial. Now, I also think Irish people, as a result, are wonderfully collegiate. We are so sociable. I do think we're probably the nicest, friendliest nation in the world, and a lovely place to come because of that. But it's not translating into urban municipal love. We don't understand Dublin is all our city.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
Our capital.
You're
like right. Italians love Rome, French love Paris. They, you know, we don't have that for Dublin, and I think it's because of a parish prump politics.
And you're right, it is affecting things beyond the aesthetics of the city. It's actually impacting safety, it's impacting
100%.
Tourism. Rory, I just have to ask you another question from a listener that came in. It's about a story in the Sunday Independent today about demand rising for four persons' mortgages as homebuyers struggle with soaring property prices. Do you have any take on that yourself?
Yeah, I just heard that there. I think, you know, when we look at the housing crisis and, you know, we indeed in the city and in my own constituency of Dublin Northwest, like the amount of adults who are in their 30s, increasingly into their 40s, who are still living at home, you know, there's a real sense of despair. And I was really struck by that, you know, during the election, you know, knocking on doors, you know, meeting people like young people in Ireland and increasingly middle aged people who can't get a home of their own or are stuck, you know, renting. The sense of despair and despondency, you know, leading to mental health is huge. So I can see why people are trying to look at different innovative, you know, ideas of how you can get housing. And I think what's interesting about the four-person mortgage idea is that in other countries, again, it's interesting when we look at the likes of, you know, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, they have lots of different forms of home ownership that, for example, they have tenant-owned apartment blocks where the tenants kind of buy into the block. And they don't have to pay a huge mortgage up front, but they pay their house off over time. It's kind of this shared equity idea. And they do have kind of more cooperative or community-led housing. So you have people coming together. And indeed, you have the O'Coolan Co-Housing Alliance, which I think you've had on before, Hugh Brennan, and them, you know, have built homes in Ballymun along this model where you're bringing the community together. They can buy homes. And I think these type of ideas that can kind of get people housing that are not straight up, you know, built to rent, you know, it's for a big investor fund.
Yeah.
We need to find solutions that enable people to own their home without crucifying them with mortgages, massive mortgages.
Yeah, thinking outside the box bedroom, as it were. But yeah, there's these novel ideas. Sorry, that's desperate. But Roisin, I'm very interested in your perspective as an architect, really.
Yeah.
You've seen in recent weeks the government have been trying to do things around RPZs, the apartment sizes. And I just wanted to ask you your perspective as an architect.
Yeah.
In your view, what are the most urgent design or planning related shortcomings that you think that they could address? Because everybody just spends their time complaining. But are there solutions?
Yeah, there's really immediate solutions. And in fairness, our institute is working really hard on them. I don't want to be plugging them, but they actually are. So one of them is to help with the conversion of units over the shop, to look for the dereliction grants for that, but also to relax some of the regulations around living over the shop so that you can come. At the moment, fires is very, very strict. It's held to a higher standard. So we're looking for now you can apply for waivers, but to make that system easier so that people, there's a lot of unused units in Ireland
and
over
the
shops.
Government said they'll do something about this, or are you just petitioning them?
Well, no, they are saying, because there's a constant dialogue between the professional bodies and the government.
And does that require investment from the state, or could it be tax incentives?
No, I don't think so. I'll be bluntly honest with you. I think it's actually regulatory. I think they just need to look at it. And there is that thing where, why does it say here? But that also is outside of the ordinary derelict building. So that's a whole other building stock. The second thing is...
Because it's retail, is it?
It's retail. Okay. So it's not considered part of the units. The second thing would be the protection of... The immediate protection of businesses on the streets. Like, one of the things about safety on streets, we're seeing businesses, small business, you'll see it on up and down streets where small businesses are evicted as they sell the entire building. They have no protection. They pay rates, they pay bin charges, Rory, on top of their rates as well, which is really difficult. So I think we need to protect business, and that keeps the streets safe. And I also think, as a wild card, and I'm really pushing this, is we need the Taoiseach, whoever he or she may be, to live in the city centre, perhaps in the north inner city, to show that you can live in an urban environment. We need to take the parish pump politics just at that level. So if you're leading the government, if you're leading the country, you decamp to the city centre, to Dublin, just like every other leading official in the world, and you live and you lead from, perhaps in our case, from one of the poorest areas in the country, and you show it's safe to live in the city centre. The Pope lives in the city. He goes to a village. Yeah. They all live in the city.
Well,
we need to
obviously
have,
they'd say that there's massive security issues around, like, the leader of the country living.
You see it in every other...
Bertie, in fairness, used to live in this house.
So I don't get it. And I think it would make a huge difference to the urban realm to lead. And also, I think we need to change our focus on market-led housing. Market-led housing, liberal capitalism, is not delivering cheap housing.
Well, we'll leave the last word to you on that. Roisin Murphy, thank you very much for talking to us today, and also thank you to Rory Hearn for being with us.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.